Welcome to episode 5 of Conversations on Transformation, recorded live at the 2023 Conference on Structural Transformation, Growth and Economic Development. My name is Tim Phillips. We know how the boom in Chinese imports over the past 2 decades has been devastating for manufacturing employment in high and middle income countries. But is the same story true for low income countries, particularly in Africa? Marina Ngoma of Tufts University has investigated the impact of Chinese imports on the manufacturing sector in Ethiopia, and I spoke to her about her research. Marina, welcome.
Hi, Tim.
Marina, for high-income countries, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that Chinese imports have replaced domestic manufacturing, replaced jobs in domestic manufacturing. How big has this impact been?
That's a good point. So across high-income countries, the available evidence today reports an impact ranging from 3% to about 14%. And there's been two very influential papers in this area conducted in the United States that provide the evidence that the estimated job losses in the U.S. rising from the Chinese import competition between 1999 and 2011 was estimated to 2.4 million workers. So that's a really big number. And yeah, within the same period, another paper estimated that this increased competition with China explained about 25% of the aggregate losses in manufacturing in the United States.
I mean, that's huge. And a lot of the workers who lost their jobs in these high-income countries, they might be surprised to learn that it is theoretically possible that China shock, these Chinese imports, could create employment in the countries where the imports end up. So how does this work?
Yeah, so increased exposure to Chinese import can impact manufacturing employment through two main channels. So on the one side, there could be competition, which is the channel in which domestic firms in Ethiopia, say, would compete against Chinese firms. And this will likely lead to employment losses, right? Because if you consider the fact that China is really entering the world market with this huge comparative advantage in manufacturing sectors, then they are likely to really have the ability to produce it at lower prices. And the domestic firms competing against China would likely lose out market shares in the domestic market, which would lead them to employ less. However, you can also have a potential benefits arising from the fact that importing firms could have the opportunity to have a greater access to input from China, right? So a greater access to input to China would allow them to upgrade the technology, become more productive, and hence be able to employ more workers. So that's where potentially positive effect can come from, right? However, in the competition, you could also think about a scenario in which, in response to increased competition, firm would invest more into upgrading the technology, becoming more innovative. So that could at least limit the negative impact that could come from competition. But overall, yes, you can have employment gains mainly from a greater access to input that makes firms more productive.
Right. I see that it could go both ways, but why should the net impact, or why could the net impact be so different in Africa, a place like Ethiopia, compared to that research that you quoted from the US?
Yes, there are many reasons that could make African economies different than higher income economies, right? So I speak to two main differences. The first one is the fact that for many of the African countries, the industrial base is very small. So they are still really early in their structural transformation process. So this means that the competition would potentially be less salient in these countries because the manufacturing base is already so small. So there's not much to compete there, right? The other possibility speaks to the issues accessing inputs. In Ethiopia, the country that I study, in the early 2000s, the data I have access to reports that close to 72% of firms reported that access to inputs was among the top three reasons preventing them to even operate at full capacity. So these two key differences are putting African economies in a position to potentially benefit from greater access to input from China.
Let's talk about Ethiopia. How much does it import from China?
Ethiopia has been importing from China a lot, and the trend has been really increasing fast. So in 2001, Ethiopia did import $254 million in value of trade imports from China. And by 2016, this number did increase to $4 billion. So in relative terms, this increase goes from about 6% to close to 30% of total imports in Ethiopia.
And many African countries have got a small manufacturing sector.
Mm-hmm.
How big is Ethiopia's manufacturing sector? How many people work in it?
On aggregate, the share of manufacturing employment on total employment is only about 8% on average over the entire time period that I'm looking at. And to be more specific, for the data that I'm working with, which is the formal manufacturing firms, I observe that on average, an industry employs about 8,000 workers. Mm. Yeah, so that's the average number across industries. And on average, one firm hires about 100 workers.
It sounds like you have pretty good data.
Yes, I'm working with the formal manufacturing census data, which is a very informative data set in Ethiopia, looking at all formal firms operating in Ethiopia in the manufacturing sector. So they call them formal because they are registered and also mm-hmm. they use power-driven machinery
right.
and employ at least 10 workers in their companies.
If you want to know more about STEG, its funding, its research agenda, or its future events, then visit steg.cepr.org. That's STEG, spelled S-T-E-G, .cepr.org. Now, back to the podcast.
Now, when I was thinking about this, the sort of methods that you use, you increase demand in a country, and that's going to probably increase imports from China, but it might also affect the employment in those industries. So it's hard to work out the causal effect of imports from China on employment in mm-hmm. manufacturing industry, isn't it? How do you get around that?
Yes. So I get around that by employing an instrumental variable approach. Okay. So I instrument the Chinese import to Ethiopia with the Chinese import to other countries. So I use a subset of 13 African economies. So the idea here is that my instrument allows me to isolate the components of the variation of in Chinese import to Ethiopia that is influenced solely by productivity shocks in China, right? So I'm here standing on the shoulders of others in this literature by really looking at Chinese import to other countries. And this strategy relies on the main assumption that import demand shocks are really not correlated across countries, which is a plausible assumption here. So another way to put this is it's very unlikely that Ethiopia, being such a small economy, would really influence other countries in importing from China.
So let's net it all out then. What is the net effect on employment of imports from China in Ethiopia?
Interestingly, I find that increased exposure to Chinese import did lead to employment gains in the context of Ethiopia.
Uh-huh.
To be more specific, I construct a measure of exposure to Chinese imports, which I call the import penetration ratio. So it's a relative measure of contemporaneous Chinese imports based on initial demands in the domestic market in Ethiopia. So I find that when that measure increases by one unit in an industry, this leads to a 15% increase in employment within that industry. So that's a big average effect that I find in response to exposure to Chinese imports.
It is a huge effect. Is it concentrated in particular industries or is it across the board?
Yes, yeah, so that's an average impact across the board. Mm-hmm. And my analysis also highlights that although this effect is not driven by a specific industry, but the benefits are accruing more for industries with a large share of bigger firms and also for industries that are more labor intensive. For example, say the textile industry or the footwear industry that are more labor intensive. These are the type of industries that are benefiting much more than others.
As you explained, there are two positive channels here. There's mm-hmm. the innovation channel, the inputs channel. Were you able to disentangle the effects from these two channels, know which one is driving this increase?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I proceed in two steps. In the first step, I look into the type of goods that Ethiopia imports from China, and I'm able to classify between the imports of final goods that go to final consumers and the imports of intermediate goods that are more likely to go to the producers. So this disaggregation already tells me that close to 80% of the goods that Ethiopia imports from China are inputs. And I use that measure to run my analysis, and I find that really the biggest effect here is being driven by access to inputs. I construct a measure where I look at the actual usage of imports based on every industry that's supplied to the exposed industry, and I find that the greater access to inputs that domestic firms in the manufacturing sector in Ethiopia need, this is the way the positive impact is really being implemented.
Can we say about these firms in Ethiopia? They're definitely bigger. That's what you found out. Can we also say that they're better firms as well as a result of this?
Yes, I agree that this positive impact is also seen on some of the measures of productivity, for example, total factor productivity. So I find that the greater access to Chinese inputs is allowing firms to become more productive overall and to also produce at greater installed capacity, because these firms have really reported that the lack of access to inputs were really preventing them to even operate at a higher capacity based on what they have as a fixed capital installed. So this is really allowing firms to become more productive while also expanding their capacity.
Marina, you know that across Africa, trade relationships with China have been controversial. They've become big election issues in places like Zambia. From your research, what does this suggest that policymakers should be doing in relation to China if they want to accelerate structural transformation in the future?
So my paper really suggests that developing countries that are pursuing the structural transformation agenda may incur gains from trading with China through the access of to relatively cheaper and high quality inputs into the production process. So the government policies that really can facilitate access, for example, to foreign exchange or just more broadly to intermediate inputs would be important for the growth of the manufacturing sector in this country.
Marina, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
Before I let you go, Marina, this was your job market paper, was it not?
Yes, it was my job market paper.
Congratulations for being able to present it at the conference. Was it a good experience?
It was a very good experience.
My other question about this is, why did you decide to pursue an interest in structural transformation? It's not the easiest discipline in economics, is it?
That's true. So my interest for this topic is really coming from a long way. It's since my professional experience working in the Democratic Republic of the Congo for the government, and I was involved in one of the key government policy trying to push this structural transformation agenda by implementing industrial zones that would aim to allow this movement of workers away from low productive agriculture into more higher productive agricultural sector. So that's where my interest for structural transformation started, and I've just had the chance to join my PhD program where I had great mentors also to help me really think more about related research questions and be able to pursue this research agenda.
And in the future?
Yes, in the future as well.
Good luck with it. Thank you very much, Marina.
Thank you.
Paper is called Chinese Imports and Industrialization in Africa, Evidence from Ethiopia. And the author you just heard from her, Marina Ngoma.
You have been listening to Conversations on Transformation, recorded live at the STEG Annual Conference 2023. STEG stands for Structural Transformation and Economic Growth, and the conference was held in collaboration with the Center for Economic Policy Research and the International Growth Center.